Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. It's been a busy week at the legislature, and here to tell us about some of the issues being debated at the State House is Pete Hirschfeld. He's the bureau chief of the Vermont Press Bureau and a key part of the Times Argus VPR News Collaborative. Hey, Pete. Great to have you.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
So it was really interesting this week, Pete. For a couple of months, there hasn't been much of a discussion about the decriminalization of marijuana. Now we see it coming up in both the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. So what's this debate all about?
It's about whether or not people who are caught with small amounts of the drug should be subject to criminal citations. And there are a critical mass of lawmakers who believe the answer to that question is no. And they're working on legislation right now that would replace criminal sanctions. Right now, if you're the first time you're caught with 2 ounces or less of marijuana, you can be sent to jail for a maximum of 6 months. And they would eliminate the jail time. They would eliminate the crime element of it. It would still be illegal, but much like a speeding ticket or running a stop sign, you would only get a civil fine for that. And they're looking at a $100 fine.
So they're also, it sounds like they're debating, you know, what is a small amount of marijuana? Is it an ounce? Is it 2 ounces? Could you have some plants? That's the debate going on as well?
Less than an hour ago, the House Judiciary Committee sat around and discussed these very issues. And they had a straw poll about what is the right amount, and it looks like they're honing in on an ounce. They think that somebody should be able to have 1 ounce or less without suffering any criminal sanctions. Another issue that they're looking at is plants, whether or not people should be able to grow plants. There's some concern about, well, if we're going to decriminalize the possession of marijuana, are we not forcing people to enter into criminal conduct by seeking out a dealer to purchase it from? However, they don't seem inclined to make cultivation a part of this bill. There's some concerns about how much marijuana would be harvested from a single plant, creating a situation where people would necessarily be felons for at least a period of time after the harvest. So it looks like that will not be in there.
And we're actually seeing a divide within the law enforcement community on this issue, aren't we?
Yeah, there are a number of law enforcement officers in the state, including public safety, Commissioner of Public Safety Keith Flynn, who say, look, in practice, we have decriminalized small possession already anyway. And even though we have people pleading guilty, getting only a small fine, they still have this criminal conviction on their record that makes them ineligible for all sorts of things, whether it's federal student loans or Section 8 housing. On the other side, you have police and police associations who say, sure, we're not sending these folks to jail, but the hammer of prosecution allows us to work with these folks in a way, encourage them to change their behavior in a way that we wouldn't be able to if we didn't have the leverage of the criminal penalties underlying this conversation.
So what's the outlook here for this bill? What's your best guess? Are we going to see the House and Senate move on this issue this year?
I think it would be one of the shocks of the session if they didn't. The House Judiciary Committee looks poised to vote this out favorably midweek next week. It'll go to the House floor, where, by all accounts, it has the votes to pass. And over in the Senate, this isn't a new issue. They've passed decrim bills twice in the past. Senator Dick Sears, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is ready to go. And so for people that support this bill, prospects are looking awfully bright.
You know, the whole earned income tax credit debate was up and running this week as well. The governor was not successful in persuading the House to take $17 million from that program, a program for low-income working people to finance his child care initiative. But it doesn't sound like he's giving up on this issue over in the Senate.
No. Secretary of Human Services Doug Racine is in the Senate as we speak, making a real hard pitch to the Senate, saying there are ways to do this that will not harm the people you're worried about harming and, in fact, will benefit them by subsidizing these child care subsidies that they would use cuts to the earned income tax credit to fund. Racine is really trying to reframe the debate downstairs after having failed to convince people in the House. He's saying, look, the House wouldn't do these EITC reductions, but they've got tax increases in everything from cigarettes to soda to bottled water to clothing. These are all very regressive taxes that hit the same population that we're talking about receiving the earned income tax credit. At least we reallocated that money to childcare subsidies. Shumlin wanted to spend $17 million to help low-income people pay for childcare. The House version only has $3.3 million in childcare subsidies. He says, if we're going to take money away from these people, let's at least put it into programs that are going to benefit them. And so he says he sees daylight in the Senate. It would be a huge upset if they were to pull off something, but we'll see.
Well, one key player in this is Senate Finance Chairman Tim Ash. He said this week that it's unbelievable to him that the governor is fighting efforts to raise income taxes for the wealthy. And yet at the same time, he's absolutely committed to pay for his child care plan by reducing the state share of the earned income tax credit by 66%. He said that thinking is, quote, beyond the pale. Do you think many senators agree with him?
I think a lot of senators agree with him. I think a lot of the senators on the Senate Committee on Health and Welfare who are talking about this issue right now agree with him. There are some other constituencies in the Senate, however, that do see at least some rationale in what the administration is pitching. The Senate Committee on Appropriations in particular is a place where you see a lot of centrist Democrats, more moderate Democrats, and some Republicans who on the surface at least seem to be at least ready to listen to the argument that Doug Racine is going to make.
Got about a minute left. You had a story today talking about the Senate Transportation Committee looking at the gas tax. And in your story, you said, hey, they're looking at the diesel tax, too.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to get there. I mean, I talked to Ed Miller, a lobbyist for the Vermont Truck and Bus Association, the constituency that would be most affected by this. And he said, look, you know, Senator Dick Mazza, chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, makes the argument we've all got to have a little skin in this game, all got to be a part of the solution. It's hard to rebut. The question now will be, is it the 4 cents that Dick Mazza wants to see over the next 2 years or something lower than that?
And that committee doesn't seem very enthusiastic about the inflation adjuster either that the House put in.
No, it looks like they're going to get rid of that. And then we'll see the House and the Senate fight it out in conference in a few weeks.
Fascinating to see this stuff. Pete Hirschfeld, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks, Bob.